There's a good possibility that the 2015 legislature will be asked to consider a bill that will legalize marijuana in Vermont. Lawmakers have called for a comprehensive study of this issue, and that work is going to be done by the RAND Corporation. Bo Kilmer is a senior policy researcher at RAND. He's also the co-director of the RAND Drug Policy Research Center, and he'll be the lead person coordinating this study, and he joins us now to talk about this effort. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
So some people might be wondering just at the start, why is the RAND Corporation interested in this issue?
Well, RAND's been around for about 65 years. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization, and the mission really is to improve policy and decision-making through research and analysis. 25 years ago, RAND created the Drug Policy Research Center, which I now co-direct, and we work on a variety of issues related to substance use and drug policy. But for the past 5 to 6 years, we've done a fair amount of work in the realm of marijuana legalization. That's when, in 2009, 2010, that's when the conversation started to get pretty serious in California. So we started doing some research there, and we've continued to kind of work in this area throughout the last 5, 6 years.
So two states so far, Colorado and Washington, have decided to legalize marijuana. Some other states are looking at decriminalization. In your mind, is there a big difference between legalization and decriminalization?
There's a very big difference. In general, when people talk about decriminalization, they're usually referring to just reducing the penalties for possession for small amounts. You know, for example, having to go from being a misdemeanor down to something like a traffic citation. When people talk about decriminalization, it usually has nothing to do with production. When we talk about legalization, that's when we begin talking about not only legalizing possession, but also the production and distribution. And so what you see in Colorado and Washington is that they're allowing for-profit companies to come in and begin producing and processing the marijuana. So that's very different from just decriminalization.
You've done a lot of research on this topic. In one of the articles that you wrote, you raised the question of what can states learn from their regulation of alcohol and tobacco? What can they learn from that as they look at the possibility of legalizing marijuana?
There's actually a lot they can learn in terms of regulations. You know, if you're going to allow stores, information we have about days of operation, you know, operation times. I mean, there's kind of a lot of those details which can be learned. Two big ones to take away is you need to think seriously about taxation. Most public health experts believe that alcohol taxes are too low in the United States. And if you were to raise those taxes, you would actually end up with better public health outcomes. And so that's something that, you know, for jurisdictions that are thinking about doing something besides marijuana prohibition, they need to think seriously about how they're going to tax marijuana. There are a number of ways to do that. For example, you could tax it as a function of the weight, you know, for example, $50 per ounce. But if you were to do it that way, it creates incentives for people to produce more potent marijuana and purchase more potent marijuana. You could also tax it as a function of the value, and that's kind of what they're doing in Colorado and Washington. But realize that, you know, if you see this big, a large decrease in the price over time, which we would expect, that's going to influence those outcomes. Another way of taxing would be taxing the marijuana as a function of its THC content. So there are dozens of cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. THC is the one that gets the most attention. That's what gets you high. That's what also increases the probability of anxiety and panic attacks. So one option, you could also, you know, tax the marijuana as a function of the amount of THC that's in there. So there are a lot of things you have to think about that. But taxes are important because they can only help shape some of the public health impacts, but obviously has implications for revenues as well.
So for someone to look at this issue and say, is it a yes or no? Should we legalize or not? If you go down the road to yes, it's not just a simple question. There are a lot of questions that get raised. The whole idea of for profit. Now, Colorado and Washington have decided we're going to let businesses make money off this. In the state of Vermont, we have state liquor stores. So is that another possibility, another way to deal with the sale of marijuana?
Oh, yeah. If you're a jurisdiction and you're thinking about doing something other than prohibiting marijuana, you have a number of options. If you think about prohibition at one end of a spectrum, you can think about the commercial alcohol model as the other, as kind of the other extreme. And that's what we're seeing in Washington and Colorado. But there's a lot of policy space in between those extremes. Now, for example, a jurisdiction could maybe only allow home production or only allow collectives or co-ops You can even imagine a model where you only allow nonprofits with a public health focus to be able to do the production and the distribution. And there's also another option is a state monopoly. There where the state's actually in control of production, allows them to control the prices and allows them to limit marketing. But that option actually does not get a lot of it doesn't get a lot of play in the United States simply because we still have federal prohibition. States can't force their employees to violate federal law. So that's something you have to kind of keep in mind with all these reforms.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, what is the impact of the federal government saying it's illegal to do this? And now we have two states who have legalized it. Vermont is looking at it. How do you factor in the role of the federal government into all of this?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty. So, you know, when Washington and Colorado passed these initiatives in November of 2012, everyone was kind of waiting to see, well, what's the federal government going to do? And so everyone just kind of waited and waited and waited. And finally, it wasn't until August of 2013 that the Department of Justice released a memo and said that for the time being that the federal government was not going to crack down on Washington and in Colorado as long as they had strong enforcement and regulatory systems in place. I mean, it made it very clear that it wasn't – they weren't legalizing marijuana, but that for the time being, they weren't going to intervene. That memo also included some guidance to federal prosecutors to help them make decisions about whether or not to take a marijuana trafficking case. You know, I think there were 8 different guidelines. You know, for example, if it's a store, you know, distributing to minors, you know, you should go after them if they're serving as a front for organized crime. But it's important to realize that that memo – not only sent a signal to Washington and Colorado, it also sent a signal to other states and to other countries that at least for the time being, that the Obama administration was willing to tolerate, you know, potentially large for-profit companies to come in and produce marijuana as long as they play by their rules. Now, realize that federal policy can change within, but, you know, and also across administrations. So when we have a new president in January of 2017, it'll be very interesting to see what decision they make about federal policy.
You were talking about taxation. If a state decides to tax the sale of marijuana and they apply too large a tax, does that have the impact of allowing an illegal market still to exist?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if the taxes are too high, you'll still have the black market there. And, you know, as you pay attention to what's happening in Washington and Colorado, I mean, Washington, they just started retail sales just a few weeks ago. It's going to be a long transition before they completely get rid of the black market there. It's going to take time. But you have to also keep in mind this issue of taxation and the prices. When you legalize marijuana, you really are going to reduce the production and distribution costs. Because right now when someone buys marijuana or they buy cocaine or methamphetamine, a lot of what they're doing is compensating the drug dealer and everyone else along the supply chain for the risk of arrest and risk of incarceration. That goes away with legalization. And then there's also potential for increasing economies of scale, you know, changes in technology. So we would expect over time these production and distribution costs to go down. And so you need to think about that with respect to kind of doing projecting tax revenues.
So a lot of people are going to look at this issue and think that there's some pretty serious public health concerns involved. What would some of those be?
Obviously, there are people that end up becoming dependent on marijuana. It negatively affects them, affects their relationships. So then there definitely will be people that will need treatment. You also need to think about their emergency room visits, you know, panic attacks. A big issue is driving under the influence. But, I mean, you got to kind of step back, though. And when we think about driving under the influence, you can't look at marijuana without also thinking about alcohol. In general, the research suggests that driving drunk tends to be worse than driving stoned, and driving stoned tends to be worse than driving sober. But one thing we do know is that when people are under the influence of both alcohol and marijuana, it really does increase the probability of a traffic accident. So those are things you kind of need to keep in mind. And kind of the other big public health issue out there is really trying to figure out how marijuana legalization is going to influence alcohol consumption. It's a big question mark. You know, if you were to legalize marijuana and it does increase marijuana use, you know, is alcohol use going to go up or is it going to go down? Are they going to be economic complements, you know? And if they are, you really do have to kind of pay even closer attention to this issue of driving under the influence. However, if it turns out that they end up being substitutes, and so we have a lot of heavy drinkers moving from, you know, going from heavy drinking to becoming heavy marijuana consumers, that could actually be a net win for society. That's not to say that there aren't social costs associated with heavy marijuana use. There are. But they generally pale in comparisons to what we think about are the social costs associated with heavy alcohol use. I mean, you can overdose and die, traffic accidents, chronic disease, and violence. So, you know, as researchers, we're going to be paying really close attention to what happens in Washington and Colorado, not only to marijuana consumption, but also alcohol consumption.
So as you put this report together, do you anticipate that the conclusion might not be, yes, you should do this, or no, you should not do this, but here are the issues that you need to look at?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the process of kind of developing what the table of contents is going to look like. But I can definitely tell you what's not going to be in the report. At the end of the report, you're not going to see a statement that says that Vermont should legalize marijuana, and you won't see a statement that says we think Vermont should not legalize marijuana. You know, we kind of see three different pieces to the report. The first being kind of an assessment of the marijuana landscape in Vermont, kind of helping people understand how much marijuana is being consumed, what are the criminal justice resources that are being dedicated to enforcing prohibition. Kind of understanding what's happening right now. The second section is really going to kind of walk through some of the different options that the state of Vermont has, including doing nothing, and kind of thinking through some of the consequences associated with different policies, not just what they're doing in Washington and Colorado, but maybe some of these other models. So kind of thinking through those consequences. And then the final, probably the final section is going to draw upon some of the insights that we can learn from Washington and Colorado. Granted, I mean, with Washington only opening retail stores a couple weeks ago, you're not going to be able to do a full cost-benefit analysis. But that said, I mean, there are some insights that we can gain kind of as they've been dealing with the implementation issues that I think can be useful for jurisdictions that are thinking about these other policy options.
There certainly are a lot of different questions that need to be looked at in the coming months. Bo Kilmer is a senior policy researcher at the RAND Corporation, and he'll have a report for lawmakers to consider next January. Bo, many thanks for being on the program. I hope you'll come back in the fall to discuss this issue with us some more.
Bob, thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back.